And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us on this fine Monday. Sarah Anderson joining us now, Director of Policy at FreedomWorks. Hello, Sarah. How are you today?
Hey, John. Doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
I appreciate you joining us very much. And I talked about this a little bit last week, and I probably won't stop talking about this for some time, especially if this bloody thing passes, which I hope it doesn't, but that'd be the infrastructure bill. It's
it is,
which, by the way, it's not. It is not an infrastructure bill. It's far from that.
That's exactly right, John. Par for the course, though, with the left these days, you know, selling things that sound good and meanwhile just pushing through an agenda of leftist items. So par for the course, but that's what we're looking at with this quote-unquote infrastructure package.
Yeah, and I really, you know, to me, Sarah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I look at this and I look at the dollar amount, whatever, $115 billion or something, which I know sounds like a big number. If you break that down, and I did last week on a per state basis, and you know, divide that up by 50 states, each state getting roughly a little over $2 billion, which our own CDOT budget here in Colorado, which is underfunded, we're at about $1.4 billion per year just to keep what we have maintained and going. Sarah, no offense, but another couple billion dollars for us as a state isn't going to do diddly squat.
Right. Well, I think that's the main problem with this bill. It's got a price tag of almost $2.5 trillion, and we know that less than $600 billion of that is going to go to actual infrastructure, so roads and bridges, things that people think of when they think of infrastructure. Instead, we've got about $400 billion going to Medicaid expansion. We've got the passage of the PRO Act, which is the giveaway to labor unions. You've got $174 billion in there for public schools, by the way, not to have them reopen, but just to have them install a green infrastructure in public schools. You know, things that have nothing to do, again, with infrastructure, just climate change agenda items, healthcare, government takeover agenda items, not to mention the big labor giveaways. So like you said, you know, this bill is not going to do really anything for the infrastructure of our country if it were to pass. Instead, it's just another Trojan horse for some agenda items that the left wants to get through.
Yeah, and then there's things in it, you know, Sarah, like $80 billion for Amtrak. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't look at that as anything to do with our infrastructure. Amtrak's its own company. Let them find their own $80 billion of funding if need be.
Right, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of the point here, right, is that there's a lot of spending in here that's completely unnecessary for infrastructure itself. And by the way, it's a huge encroachment of the federal government into the private sector, into the matters of state. Of course, we all want our infrastructure to be good in this country, to have roads that don't have potholes and the like, but of course it's not the role of the federal government to just throw dollars at problems that it sees, and let alone to throw additional dollars at things in the name of infrastructure that's totally unrelated. It's kind of like what we saw with this COVID package, right? Only 9% of the bill actually went to COVID relief, and the rest is just giveaways to certain folks and individuals and organizations that have been able to get their way in the government, and that's what we're seeing again here.
Yeah, and for those of you listening that maybe didn't hear some of what I went through last week, for example, much to what Sarah's talking about, $20 billion to connect neighborhoods historically cut off by investments. Sarah, I can't even explain to people what that means.
Right. I mean, it harkens back to this COVID bill that they just passed a couple weeks ago that created a program of welfare for socially disadvantaged farmers. You know, take a crack at what that might mean, right? It's just absurd these days, the things that'll get put into packages and write amendments that people try to offer to say, hey, really, should we be spending money on socially disadvantaged farmers? I can't even tell you what that means. You know, exactly like that provision you just brought up. So it's pretty absurd, but unfortunately, you know, they call it the American Job Plan, but it's just going to devastate jobs across our country. And devastate actual investment that we need to bring our economy back
on track. That's right.
And instead just increase the size of the federal government.
Well, and to your point, and I said this last week, so we're looking at about $115 billion for quote-unquote infrastructure. That's about all that's there that really hasn't. And even that, I'm not sure all of that will even go to what they're even earmarking it for. But let's just say that that's where that goes. Well, they've got another $50 billion, so a little less than half of the $115 billion is going to go to a new office to monitor domestic industrial capacity. I said last week, Sarah, that you could take a zero off the end of that, and for $5 billion, I'd monitor it for you for that figure all day long.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we're laughing about it, but it's certainly no laughing matter when we're spending just billions and billions of taxpayer dollars that we don't have, which, by the way, is going to be financed under this plan by an increase in the corporate tax rate, which we know was just reduced under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2017 from 35% down to 21%, which has allowed us to be competitive in the global space and attracted businesses to keep their operations here. You know, Biden has said time and time again that he's never going to raise taxes on people who make under $400,000 a year. They recently said they quote-unquote clarified that, which means that they actually lied initially, saying right. maybe their taxes will hit people making over $200,000. But, of course, we know when you raise the corporate tax rate back to 28%, which is what they want to do with this plan, all of that gets trickled down to consumers right. in the form of higher costs of goods, higher costs of services, higher yep. costs of that's living. Right. And that's going to hit every single family. So
right.
for the Biden administration to continue to lie about that is absurd as well.
Well, and I explain to people all the time, I guess being, in fact, I've been a business owner myself, Sarah, since I was a young man. I've been self-employed since I was 22. And I know full well, how, and I coach businesses as well. I know full well that, number one, businesses don't pay a single dime in taxes. And I know that sounds really weird, but
yeah.
the person that pays the taxes is called the customer. And like you said, eventually it ends up being the person on the street. Whether you're a wholesale business or a retail business, it doesn't matter. Once those goods and services finally make it to the street level, it's the customers that are paying all those things. So I've said for years and years, Sarah, I don't care if the corporate tax rate is zero. In fact, I would prefer it because we'd all pay less goods and services for less for goods mm-hmm. and services when it's all said and done, because corporations, businesses in general, even small businesses, don't pay any taxes. Their customers do.
Yep, absolutely. It's like our director of the Center for Economic Freedom at FreedomWorks always says, you can't stimulate the depressed by depressing the stimulated. And of course, what he means by that is if you take dollars away from the private sector, take dollars away from people who have money to invest in creating companies and creating jobs
right.
and generating wealth, everybody's going to suffer as a result of that. And it seems like the left has no real perspective of what that means. Certainly with this infrastructure package, they're more than happy to live in the world of modern monetary theory while at the same time continuing to tax the very people who create the prosperity that's made our country so great. So it's unfortunate to see it happening, and you know, we'll be doing everything we can to make sure that as little of this plan becomes law as possible, hopefully none of it.
Well, and I, again, by the way, everything you just said fully agree with the exception of one thing. I think, this is my own opinion, that the left knows full well everything you and I are talking about, and I think they understand and even believe what you and I are talking about. But because they don't care that we are an economic powerhouse as a country worldwide, that they would just as soon have us falter and fall and actually be the government that is at everybody's aid. I mean, it's the old golden rule, Sarah, the guy with the gold rules. They want to be the guy holding the gold that decides what you and I get to do on a daily basis. And to me, everything that they're doing, while it may seem like they don't know what they're doing, I believe it's all part of their master plan to bring this country down.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a master plan to increase people's dependency on the government
right.
until there's no other way, right? We always say that, you know, there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program.
That's right.
The left knows that once they get people slightly dependent on it, it's what they're doing with these, you know, $1,400 checks that are going out to every taxpayer, is trying to normalize the idea of a universal basic income, which, of course, you and I know, John, will just raise the cost of living
that's
by
right.
$1,000 a month or whatever it is that you happen to give people per month. But it does just increase dependency on the government, which is the whole goal of the left at the end of the day, is to eliminate the private sector, eliminate people's ability to live freely, and instead say, hey, it's the government way or the highway.
Well, thank you. You couldn't have said it better myself. The question that I guess that, and it's folks like you that really, and I guess I'm doing it daily here on air as well, but you know, it's folks like, I guess, us collectively, where we're trying to get this message mm-hmm. out and trying to get people to understand that, A, there's no free lunch. If you take some sort of a handout from the government, either you've paid in to accept that handout or you're going to be paying after you accept the handout. Either way, you've paid. There are, like you said, there's no free lunches. You're going to pay one way or the mm-hmm. other. But I guess, you know, despite you and I, or just besides, let me say it that way, besides you and I, you know, being very direct and trying to inform people, how else do we, you know, do we fight this and get people to really understand that by taking a handout, they're not helping themselves. They're hurting themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just increasing the message of personal liberty and people's ability to do good for themselves without some overarching self-purportedly benevolent power of the government saying this is how you need to live your life. I mean, I think we have the winning message here, which is that there's nobody who knows best how to live your life than you. And the more somebody else tries to interfere, and it's certainly somebody who's unelected, faceless, nameless, sitting in Washington, D.C., probably thousands or hundreds of miles from where you live your life, why do they know what's best for you right now? And so I think that's the message that we have to get out to folks. And so I'm thankful for people like you who are out there broadcasting it every day to the world, to your listeners, that, hey, this is not the way to live your life. You should be allowed to live the life that you want to live, not the life that some Washington, D.C. bureaucrat wants you to live.
Well, I appreciate what you guys are doing, too, as well. Freedom Works. And real quick, before I forget, Sarah, how do folks find you guys and even you particular on Freedom Works?
Yeah. So we have a website. We're at freedomworks.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Freedom Works, all one word. You can find me as well. My Twitter handle is SMAYR Anderson, and you can follow me there, follow all along with what Freedom Works is doing, and get plugged in with really just the fight for freedom and the fight for individual liberty is what we're out here to do. So really appreciate it.
Right on. Sarah, I appreciate it very much, too. Thanks for all you're doing. You're welcome anytime. This is good stuff. We got to stay in this together and keep fighting the battle. It's the only thing we've got left to save the country, I'm afraid.
Yep. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate it very much. And folks, I mean what I just said. We're going to lose the battle if we don't continue to form those around us, including family members, that by taking, you know, handouts on an ongoing basis, it's not going to help anybody any way, shape, or form. And this infrastructure bill, I talked about it last week. I'm going to continue to talk about it. Folks, it is far from that as it could be. And anytime you hear somebody, whether you're, you know, at home talking about it, water cooler, family members, whatever the case may be, anytime somebody says, well, what about the infrastructure bill the Biden administration's putting up? First thing you need to clarify is it's not. This has to be the largest pork belly bill I've ever seen in my entire life. And if you don't know what a pork belly bill is, go look it up. Very explanatory. Just go Google it. It'll tell you. That's all this is, by the way. This is not about investing into the infrastructure of this country and improving all of our lives. This is actually just the opposite. Extreme Auto Repair is up next. They do want to help you with all that you have going on in your life. And what I mean by that is keeping your vehicle up and running and no problems. Every time I'm out on the road, and it seems like lately, I don't know why this is, but lately as I'm driving around, I'm seeing more. Maybe it's because the weather's warming up. I don't know, but I'm seeing more vehicles that are on the side of the road with either a problem or it's been red flagged or it's got the hood up or whatever the case may be. And I'm thinking, you know, a little bit of preventative maintenance would have avoided that problem in the first place. That's where Extreme Auto Repair comes into play. Find him at klzradio.com or call 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, folks, as of the end of last week, and I don't know what happened during the weekend itself, but wait times as to what it took to buy a gun, get through the background check, was about 4.5 days as of Friday. I don't know if that's changed or not. You can call Franktown Firearms and find out. They're doing their best to keep stocked on guns, ammunition. Accessories typically isn't a big deal. Training, though, they do have training. Training. They've got a lot of it. From anyone that's looking for something basic to the most advanced course, they've got it all. And it's really important to have that done as well. And don't forget, they've got a full range there also. You can try a gun out even before you buy it. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
At Franktown Firearms, you can always get better. It's a very conservative notion that no matter how good you are right now, life is all about improving yourself. That's exactly how the team at Franktown Firearms is looking at training, which is why they offer a greater diversity of platforms than most shooting ranges, including static, moving and shooting, and target acquisition engagement, so you can always get better. It's a great feeling to see your skills improving, and at Franktown Firearms, you have literally unlimited potential. Sign up for one-on-one instruction on the range or register for a group class catered to your level of ability. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Along the lines of the infrastructure bill, there's a governor, by the way, of, I believe it is, let me double check on this, Mississippi governor, Tate Reeves. He was actually, I believe, on one of the CNN, one of the news, shows, I guess I should say, Jake Tapper. He said that over the weekend, and he said that the Green New Deal looks more like, or the infrastructure plan looks more like the Green New Deal than it does an infrastructure plan. And he's right, by the way. We've been talking about that. I talked about it even last week once we figured out what some of the details of the actual bill were. And, you know, one thing I didn't talk about with Sarah a moment ago is I do feel like most Americans, if they felt like, even conservatives, if they felt like we were actually going to do some things with actual infrastructure, wouldn't have as big of a problem with this particular bill as it is. I'm one that says, I think I still have a problem with it no matter what, just because we don't have the $2 trillion on hand. We're borrowing that money. Now, I will say, though, that investing into infrastructure that we currently own that make the value of our country go up would be no different than a business taking on debt to improve its goods and services and the things that it does and owns, therefore making it a better company at the end of the day. There'd be a case for that. This is not, though, folks. In fact, it's far from that. We're not investing anything inside of the United States of America that will make our country worth more. We're doing just the opposite. There isn't really anything on this entire list, with the exception of the $115 billion, and I don't even know how that will get spent, because who knows how that's actually lined out. But there's really nothing else listed in this entire bill that will make our country more valuable. Some of you might say, well, if we modernize public transit, won't that make the country's value go up? No. No, it really doesn't. What about if we improve road safety for $20 billion? No. Doesn't make our country worth more money either. But if we upgrade the airports for $25 billion, does that not help the value of our country? No, because frankly, those airports should all be privatized anyways, and there's no reason why the federal government or you and I as taxpayers are spending $25 billion on them. Folks, for all of this $2+ trillion that's slated here, and I'm no politician, I'm no mathematician, I'm no expert when it comes to some of these things that we're talking about, but I can tell you this, I could easily sit down and scroll through every one of these sections and figure out an alternative to making this work whereby it does not cost the taxpayer a dime. If anything, it might make us money. I could literally line item it, line by line by line, and tell you what we could change to make this work for us as a taxpayer in a better form than what we're doing now, where we're going to basically just throw money away, burn it, literally. That's all we're going to do with it. I talked about this last week. I'll break more of these down as we go, and hopefully this won't look this way as the bill finally goes through the... the legislature, but don't be surprised if a lot of this doesn't stay. In fact, what they're saying is they're going to get this done no matter what, even if it's through the budgetary process. But I go back to what I talked to Sarah about a moment ago. We really need $80 billion to go to Amtrak because of their repair backlog. Why can't they do that themselves? And if Amtrak isn't viable, if there's not enough people buying tickets and riding it where they can invest on their own, then why does it exist? Shouldn't it just fail? I mean, I feel like Amtrak, much like the post office, is like the church committee that got started and can never end because, well, it's always been there. We got to keep doing it. Folks, it doesn't work that way. And again, I could line item this thing line by line by line and literally show where we could take these items and flip it around and probably, not probably, make it where it would actually be income to us as taxpayers, not the other way around. $100 billion to upgrade and build public schools. Folks, we don't need more public schools. Sorry, we don't. In fact, in some cases, they need killed, shut down. Hand out vouchers, let the private sector do their job, and call it good. Take $100 billion. You know, you need $100 billion. Take $1 billion and invest into vouchers, and the rest will take care of itself. We don't need to spend $100 billion to upgrade public schools, not by any stretch of the imagination. We don't need to retrofit for $213 billion, 2 million homes and commercial properties. By the way, why is that my job as a taxpayer to have somebody else retrofit their house or business? Isn't that their job? Where does personal responsibility come into play? Public housing projects. We definitely don't need to spend $40 billion on public housing projects just to make more people, you know, on the dole, keep them there. Again, folks, I can run through every single one of these items and tell you that none of this needs to be coming out of my pocket as a taxpayer. If we want to improve interstates, roads, highways, bridges, ports, things like that, great. Figure out how to do it. Figure out how we can fund it and make sure that the money goes there and off we go. Outside of that, folks, none of this needs to be spent at all. And I will challenge anybody to tell me that there's something on here we should be spending the money on. And I will tell you that, no, there's other ways we can do this. We've even got a others category in this bill for $28 billion. Tell me what others is for $28 billion. Keep in mind, this is coming off of the heels of the article I read earlier where those on the left that are whining about corporations not paying enough in taxes, and we're going to put a category that says others for $28 billion. When that last article I read said there's roughly about $3.5 billion in taxes we're not going to collect from some of these companies taking advantage of the tax code from the coronavirus changes in the tax code. This shows you how hypocritical the left is, folks. It's okay to spend $28 billion on quote-unquote other, which means it's not marked for anything. But yet we're going to complain about businesses being successful like FedEx because they don't pay enough in what these people think is taxes. Makes your head spin. I'll come right back, folks. My son Richard should be joining us. Roof Max is next. Dave Hardy's going to spray my roof later this week. By the way, I'll give you a complete update on that next week as to how things look, but I'm anxious to get that done. I've got a roof, by the way, that's about 10 years old is all. It does show some signs of cracking on the southern exposure, which, of course, is the hottest side of the roof. You can see where those shingles are getting brittle. And I'm going to have my entire roof coated, thereby making it last a lot longer, hopefully not having any claims even due to hail, things along those lines. And I'll let you know how things look as soon as Dave's done. Right now, there's a great deal. He'll come out, do a free roof inspection, tell you exactly what you need. All you got to do is call him on the phone. 303-710-6916. That's Dave at Roof Max.
Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora started out as a traditional roofer, repairing and replacing asphalt roofs. But he got so tired of the unnecessary waste. The quality of asphalt shingles has declined in recent years, leading to less and less durable roofs, especially in Colorado, where high altitudes expose your roof to stronger UV rays that damage your shingles, combined with severe spring and summertime storms and more than twice the national average snowfall. You could end up replacing your roof every few years, paying higher and higher insurance costs. Roof rejuvenation from RoofMax offers an alternative to total roof replacement. Just one application of the all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof guaranteed. Because Dave has a background in roofing, he can provide any patches or small repairs your roof may need before applying roof rejuvenation. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
All right, Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers. He'd love to help you with your mortgage needs, whatever that is, just reviewing, or maybe you want to buy a second home, or you're looking to move, change, whatever it happens to be. Kurt can help you out. Give him a call today, 720-895-0500. Don't forget, we'll hear from Kurt at 5 o'clock for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Again, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe, too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My son Richard will join me in a moment. But before that, though, Joe is on the phone. Joe, what's up, sir?
John, a couple of comments. One, I want to start with a generic myth that, you know, raising tax rates results in higher tax revenues. And it's typically just the opposite. And I'll give you two examples. Reagan cut tax rates by 45%. Tax revenues exploded. They went up by 75% when he cut the rate by 45%.
Sure.
Trump cut rates in 2018. 2019, we set a new all-time high record for tax revenues in 2019, even though Trump, or actually because Trump had cut the rates.
Right.
So now let's get to corporate taxes. The majority of what you buy in the stores today, at least hard goods, big dollar tickets, are either partially or completely constructed overseas. Washer, dryer, refrigerator, it's probably going to be a Samsung or an LG. Honda, you buy a Honda, you thought it was made in Marysville, Ohio. Well, they made the frame and some of the plastic and sheet metal parts, but the engine, transmission, and engine control module were shipped over in a container from Honda in Japan. Japan's corporate tax rate is 25%, and the U.S. tax rate has been 21%, and Honda has the ability to manipulate where they make their money, they make their profit by saying, you know, gee, U.S. tax rates are lower. Let's make our profit in the U.S. because Japan doesn't double tax profits. So let's lower those transfer prices for those engines, transmissions, and computer modules so that we make all the money on those cars in the U.S. and we'll pay the 21% U.S. rate.
Right, right.
Now, the opposite
can be true.
Right. Now, if the U.S. goes to 28 and Japan's rate is 25, they're saying, well, we'd have to be crazy. Let's jack up the transfer pricing on those components.
Right.
So that we barely break even in the U.S. We'll charge Honda USA, the Marysville plant. We'll jack up the prices on those engines, transmissions, and computers so that Honda USA barely breaks even.
Right.
We'll owe no U.S. taxes at the 28% rate, and we'll pay all of our taxes to Japan at the 25% rate. And that's how.
Hey, and by the way, for everybody listening, real quick, when it comes especially to auto companies, every one of them, even Ford, that everybody thinks is an American company, has the ability, Joe, to do the things we talked about through all of their subsidies around the world.
And I was doing this, John. When I worked at Carrier 25 years ago, we were doing this all the time. You know, we were making stuff in Syracuse, New York, shipping it overseas, and we could determine: do we want to make the profit in Mexico? Do we want to make the profit in Germany, or do we want to make the profit in the U.S.? And all we had to do was adjust the transfer pricing for those made in America components, or vice versa.
Right.
So, if you jack up the tax rate the corporate tax rate higher than Japan or Korea, which 28% would be, you'll get a higher
rate. You're just forcing the hand of the other thing to happen.
Right. You'll get lower tax revenues because you will no longer see a dollar worth of tax revenues out of LG, Samsung, Honda, Toyota, Nissan, etc.
That's right.
They won't make a dollar's worth of profit in this country anymore.
That's right. Yep. You're exactly right. And like I said earlier, I think the left fully understands that, but they just don't care.
By the way, you got time to talk about how racist it is to buy a fishing license?
Oh, I read your email on that one, and you're 100% correct, by the way.
For those who don't know it, I got invited to go fishing in Pennsylvania next month, so I was going on the website to see what it would cost me, and I look, and if you're an in-state resident, it's $25, and if you're an out-of-state, it's $52. And so I looked at what I have to do to qualify to get an in-state resident license. Well, lo and behold, I have to show a picture ID.
Yep.
If I want to get an in-state fishing license. Well, isn't that racist? And if it isn't racist, shouldn't it be at least as tough to vote as it is to get a resident fishing license?
You would think. You would think, Joe. Yep. No, well said. No, Joe, good stuff. I appreciate it. And keep sending me stuff, as always. And you're welcome anytime. I appreciate it. Richard, we'll go to you now. What's going on, sir?
Oh, not too much yet. Joe, you guys just hit the nail on the head, which is funny because this is basically what Democrats do, but no one likes to admit it, especially Democrats. And that's, they like to do token taxes,
right,
and token, things, right? It doesn't matter, token, whatever you want to call it, token outrage over, the voting restrictions and stuff. And I don't know if you saw Marco Rubio's letter to the Major League Baseball commissioner dad, but when it came to pulling out, he also asked him if he was going to give up his Augusta National membership, and because it is Masters Week. And basically, Marco Rubio said, "Yeah, I don't really think you're going to be giving up that membership anytime soon." Now, I'd be happy to be wrong on that, and anxious to see what your response is. But
right,
I'm pretty sure you're just going to be going about your life as if nothing ever happened with it. And because again, that's the left, is it's all token, right?
Right.
It's all done because they, well, here's the deal. I'll be honest, folks. Democrats know that most people that get outraged over this stuff, or let's be honest, the common folk, Dad, the people that don't listen to your show, that aren't educated about issues, not educated in general, but educated about certain issues,
right,
and certain environments and in certain, policies, like the tax thing, right? They can just, the Democrats can go around promoting, we're gonna raise corporate tax rates because they pay the taxes. Guess what, folks? Two things.
We're gonna stick it to the man.
Correct. The corporation's not going to pay higher taxes for twofold. Number one, they're gonna keep their taxes dollars out of America.
Like Joe just said,
you pay more than you have to.
Right.
Exactly. And even if they were, they're going to pass that cost along to you.
That's right.
So again, you and I talked about this last week, off air, which is any good company, folks. And so even if you go to a company, by the way, and this is for anything, folks, you rant and rave and you need this free or that free or whatever it is. Yeah, you may be good, especially if it's a small business. You may be good on that purchase, but later on down the line, they're going to get it back, or at least they should.
Right. That's right.
That's the only way you stay in business.
There's no free lunch.
You pass all costs along to consumers.
Right.
Once you pass them along to the consumers, that's
right,
who pays for it, that's who's responsible for it, and that's who the, again, and that's who all these tax increases and everything else ends up affecting. And so I go back to the Major League Baseball, with them polling, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this, so this is a nice segue. They're pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta, and basically you've got Marco Rubio saying, well, so you're going to obviously get rid of your membership to Augusta. But the answer is, we all know, is not, Dad, right?
Hmm.
Why would you give up your membership to Augusta? And again, these voting laws, folks, do your research.
Yeah, there's nothing there there's nothing there that's a problem, period.
No, not in the Texas, not in what they're talking about in Florida, not in Georgia. If you actually look at the law, and
right,
here's the deal, there are laws on the book constitutionally preventing this from happening. After the Jim Crow laws and everything else went into full effect, there are laws on the books, Dad, that prevent companies and people from government, I should say, from prohibiting you to vote. Here's my favorite argument: is people say, "Well, you shouldn't have to provide a voter ID," and then I don't know if you saw this, Dad. United just came out today and released their statement that they feel like, these laws are restrictive and they stand against anyone who, is going to deny someone the right to vote or easy access to vote. I think the last time you got on a United flight, didn't you have to show your ID?
Numerous times by the time you get to the gate, yes.
Yes, right. And so, and then people are saying, well, that's a private company's decision.
No, it's not.
To do that.
It's also the federal government's decision is to get through the airport in the first place to even get to the gate.
Correct. Totally agree. And so I'm in total agreement with you. And but here's what's funny is there's no outrage over that. And it's like, well, you should. I still don't understand for people that why is it such a big deal to provide or to give your ID to vote? What is the
because you can't subvert the voting laws that are out there when you have to do that, Richard. So the Democrats and even these knuckleheads at Delta and United, who by the way are dumb as rocks, they are just buying into this. Because it sounds good and they think they're on the right team, and the reality is they're not. But the reality is the Democrats know that if you have to show ID to vote, it eliminates all of their cheating that they do on an ongoing basis.
And this is why I don't understand. Democrats should be like, yes. Then and you know what Democrats should come out and say, which I'm pretty sure this is the case in all 50 states, and I'm happy to be wrong if people can correct me, is, you know, it should be free to get an ID, which I believe it is free to get an ID. It costs
it
to get a driver's license. But it's free to get an ID. So there should be no – and you know what? Yeah, states can do voter – you know, they can do ID drives. Heck, we're doing flipping COVID vaccine drives now, Dad. You know, Polis talked about that last week. We got some buses, you know, that we're putting together to do vaccines over the next 2 months. You're telling me that around voting time you can't get buses out there that print the right IDs for people in underprivileged neighborhoods? So, yeah, Democrats, it is the tokenness. And that's, I think, what irritates me the most about the left, Dad, is just there's so much, basically, I'm doing this because I know it's going to get you to vote for me.
Right.
And that's all it is. And if people would just wake up, folks, and I hate to say it, but just wake up to what they're trying to do, we would all be better. Because, again, they don't care about you. They think you're dumb. They think you're underprivileged. I'll be honest, black folks in Georgia, they think that you are poor, uneducated, and just flat out stupid. I'll
just
be honest. They don't say it.
That's right.
But
no, that's what they're saying. Yeah. And which, by the way, next topic when we come back from break, I want to get into, because you're actually leading right into this, which is, again, so hypocritical. They think that Georgia is being racist by what they're doing with their voting laws, and yet in New York, they want to have this Excelsior pass, you know, when it comes to getting into ball games and things along those lines where you can prove that you've either been vaccinated or any other litany of things that basically make it seem you're okay to go into a ball game because you're COVID-free, quote-unquote. Isn't that another form of ID, though, Richard?
Oh, we can talk about that and the ridiculousness of it. And by the way, Dad, why we can talk about, I know you had Kurt Rodgers, you know, his ad playing a little bit earlier, and I think you had the Monday Mortgage Minute here, if I'm not mistaken. And that's something why I think more and more people are going to be leaving those states because, and we'll even talk about Colorado and Polis's response to it. But yes, it's a vastly changing landscape. Let's just say that.
Okay, we'll be right back. Gino's Auto Service is up next. And folks, make sure that your vehicle's in top working order. As I said earlier, I see more and more vehicles on the side of the road broken down. And I don't know why. That's avoidable. I think a lot of things have been put off through COVID, and these vehicles now are, let's just say that things are finally coming to roost inside of your own vehicle, because you didn't do some of those things like you should have. Go see Gino's today. Get those things taken care of and get your vehicle in top working order. 303-794-6700 or find them online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
For over 38 years, Gino's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Gino's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide peace of mind warranty. Geno's continues to service Larry's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment. And be sure to check out all of their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in or visit them online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At a Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into a Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Greg with Open Range Services said, "With all the things I have to worry about in a day, it's nice not to have to worry about this complex beast of a machine outside my office. BES has done a great job of maintaining it for us, and we use the heck out of it. I have had some not-so-fun experiences with office machine maintenance companies in the past. Thanks for giving me one less thing to worry about." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My son Richard with me, and we're talking now about the New York vaccine pass, basically is what it is, Richard.
Yeah, so, and folks, by the way, they're trying this out of New York because, don't get it twisted, this is what the Democrats want to do everywhere.
Right.
And I think, actually, Deb Polis, again, I don't think he has had a great response to this pandemic. Others think he has. I don't think he has. But he actually was asked about this the other day and actually kind of came out and basically said that the state doesn't plan on doing anything but private venues might. So take that for what it's worth.
Okay.
And so in this case, and New York State may be saying that this is the case for the Mets, but I'll be honest, sports teams don't want to make life more difficult for their fans to get into their ballpark or their stadium, right? They want to make it easier.
Right.
And so this is, just take this for what it's worth. So basically, in order to enter City Field, which is where the Mets play, ticketed guests will be responsible for obtaining and displaying proof of one of the following: full vaccination, meaning both doses of either the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, or one dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine received at least 14 days prior to the day of the game, a negative test from the PCR COVID test taken within 72 hours of the day of the game, or a negative test result from a COVID-19 antigen test taken within 6 hours of the game's scheduled start time, i.e. 1 p.m. for a 7:10 p.m. game. So in other words, if you want to go see the Mets, maybe you're a season ticket holder, Dad, you either have to do one of two things. You either have to schedule in your life, in the busyness that is New York or whatever it might be, to go get a test. And I guess if you did the PCR test, you'd only have to go every 3 days. But okay, you have to go every 3 days, right, if they've got a home stand or
right,
whatever it might be, to get that test. Or you have to go get vaccinated, no matter your religious beliefs or whatever the case might be, right? Because I'd have to read this a little bit more, but I don't think they're making any exceptions, to be honest with you right now, for, you know, religious or whatever else it might be, or just your beliefs in general,
right?
Which I'm not sure. I guess they're a private entity. They kind of do whatever they
I think
they
you're correct
do.
In what you're so, saying. I believe that's correct.
Yeah, and so this is, again, folks, this is, and we're not just, we obviously this is sports related, so we're talking about it for that reason, but don't get this twisted. This is exactly what they want to do because it helps them feel, it helps people feel safe.
And it's control. It's more control. They can then control. They will then know who's done what, who has what, who's got what going on, and that's just one more way of their control through all of this.
No doubt about it, Dad, and that's the issue, and that's the concern that I have is, and people are like, well, what's the big deal? You know, why don't you, if you can prove it or you don't have to do these things? It's like, here's the deal, folks. Just as with the cold or the flu or mono or any of the other diseases that are out there, right? We don't mandate that people provide proof of vaccination or proof of treatment or proof of a negative test of these things to go into any place, right, Dad?
Right.
Any other time of the year. Yes, I understand your pandemic, which we can talk about, you know, if it truly is a pandemic, we can do that at another time. This has to do with the idea that it's about your self-freedoms, folks, and being able to make the decision for yourself whether you want to go do something or not, right?
Right.
If I want to go to a game and risk being infected, but guess what, Dad? Every time you go to a game, it could be blown up in an act of terrorism.
True.
I'm pretty sure the people that were in 9/11 that morning
right.
didn't anticipate having a plane fly into their building
right.
and what happened thereafter.
True.
And so it's this idea that, like you say, they want to take away your control. And all we are saying as conservatives and Republicans is, I just want to be able to make the decision myself.
No, they don't want you to make that decision.
To keep me safe.
Yeah, they don't want you making that decision at all.
Well, and they want to tell you, and I know, Dad, and you know, I know because we've talked to Democrats and progressives about this, and some of them, not the politicians necessarily, but people like you and I, honestly feel it is the government's job to do that for people.
Mm-hmm.
So some of you out there might be asking, why do they want to do this? That is the reason. They honestly feel it is the government's place
yep.
to keep you safe. That's why they don't want you to have guns.
That's right.
Because they view it as the government's job to come in and make sure you are protected. Even though the average response time, I think, for a police call is, 4 to 5 minutes, which is pretty quick. But a lot of stuff can happen in 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's that old saying, when minutes count, a gun's only seconds away.
Well, exactly. I think it's also, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away.
That's right.
And so, and here's the deal. I love police, Dad. And you and I talked about this, last week. They are great, and they are much needed, and we need more of them, and we need more good officers.
Right.
But they can't take the place of your own self-help. The same way with the COVID vaccine passport, folks, cannot take the place of just your own good hygiene
right.
and your own personal responsibility. That's all we're saying.
Right.
We don't need the government to tell us to do that, right?
Well, I would hope not, but I think in some cases, I guess that's what some folks on the left want. Even some of the lemmings that I see running around that have really bought into all of this whole, wearing of the mask and even wearing it outdoors and so on. I mean, some of these people have gotten religious over it, and it's just ridiculous.
We were actually talking about this with family this weekend. The single biggest motivator, no matter who you are, but especially, just people in general, is fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's be honest. For non-Christians, and there's some Christians that are all about the mass thing and stuff too, and all about the government, and I know who they are. But for a vast majority of us, Dad, I'm not really worried about what happens to me when I die, right? And this Easter this past weekend, it brought up that conversation.
Right.
Whereas Democrats, I'm not going to say that. If you are a non-believer, whether you're left or right, you're concerned about it because this is the only life you've got.
Right.
So, yeah, you are concerned about any chance you might have to die. Whereas, we as Christians, Dad, honestly, I feel like we live in a sense of freedom because it doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. This no offense. This is kind of the worst place we're ever going to be.
That's right.
We're going to be in a much better place later on. So, and you hit the nail on the head, which is fear. They want to control you. And the best motivator that politicians know is fear. That's why when they talk about gun control and raising taxes and they talk about abortion, they talk about religious freedom, all this stuff is fear. Right, they stoke your fears in order to guilting you into giving up freedom, saying that it is for the betterment of society. And folks, that is how socialism
yep.
and communism
yep.
and all the other progressive ideals start out, and that's how they'll finish.
That's right. All right, I'll leave it at that. Good stuff, Richard. I appreciate it very much. Have a good week. And yeah, he's right. And folks, this is all based on fear. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this. Basically, it's a vaccine pass. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's a vaccine pass, which you're going to see more and more talk on that. We will continue to keep you abreast of those things when they come up. Somebody actually asked me today if I would specifically talk about that. Richard and I were already planning on talking about that as well. You're going to see more of this. And again, that's something that right now is being pushed out. What do they call it again? It's the exact name in New York is the Elector, I want to say. But again, these are going to keep getting pushed through other initiatives, other states and agencies. And we'll keep you abreast. We'll keep watching what happens in these things. There's been some testing done on a lot of these things. But again, they're looking for digital proof. It's a digital proof program. That's really what they're calling these. They'll all have different names, but that's essentially what it is. Bruce Simmons is next. He's a reverse mortgage specialist. Anything you need from Bruce, give him a call today. He'll walk you through how a reverse mortgage actually works. 303-467-7821 or find him at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan. which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Up next here at the top of the hour, Kurt Rogers will join us for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Then Hampton Conway will join us, Executive Director of the Movement Ministries. We're going to talk about how abused men's stories are untold. We'll talk about that. And then right after him, Chuck Bentley, CEO of the largest financial ministry in the world, Crown Financial, will join us. And we got a lot to talk about with him, but the first thing we'll get into is the term gray swan, which most people don't familiar with. I am not, by the way. We'll learn what that is as soon as we come back. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.